Since its blockbuster return to the public market in September 2023, chip designer ARM has dazzled investors with its strong price history. Shares have run up some 66% so far this year on the currents of the artificial intelligence tailwind, and have more than doubled since going public last year. And ARM's growth prospects are expected to continue thanks to the expanding list of companies using the chip designer's blueprints for their products. Those designs are used by most every major semiconductor maker, including NVIDIA, Apple, Qualcomm, and many more. While the company is known for its mobile phone technology, CEO Rene Haas has signaled that ARM's automotive segment is a key area of focus as the era of smart cars has upped the demand and price for the high-performing chips powering our vehicles. And while the auto segment is a small portion of ARM's overall business, it's one of the fastest growing in terms of revenue, and a new lineup of products directed at car makers aims to solidify ARM's position in the market. On this growth story spotlight, ARM's head of automotive, Dipti Vachani, takes us on a deep dive into the chip designer's strategy and why the company is focused on the auto segment as a pillar of future success. Dipti, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you for having me.
Right, well, let's get down into it because automotive has been noted as being one of the fastest growing segments for ARM. And I think I've seen you call it a future pillar of growth. So how does automotive play into the ARM revenue mix? And what are some of the key themes that you see driving demand in 2024?
It's a pretty amazing time to be in this industry. Automotive's going through one of the most significant transformations in our lifetime. As you see more electrification on the road, more autonomy on the road, and then us just expecting this robust experience when we walk in the car, we expect our mobile phone experience and our gaming experience to extend into the vehicle. And that just provides for the perfect platform for what is ARM's strengths. Right? ARM's legacy is in really low power, high performance technology, right? Going back to our mobile phone roots. And then in addition to that, our investment in safety over the last 20 years has now come to fruition to provide what is an extensive offering into this automotive industry. And that intercepts really well with where the industry is going, right? We need more and more compute, more AI. We need heterogeneous compute, right? It's not all about just CPUs. We have graphics now. We have cameras now. And that in itself is the whole industry is expanding. And ARM is front and center in that transformation.
No, it's really incredible to see the cars of today and how much data they generate. As you said, so much compute power. And I'm glad you brought up ARM's mobile roots. As you said, consumers want the mobile phone experience in their cars. So how does the background in smartphones then play into ARM's vision for automotive and maybe how you view yourself in the competitive field?
Well, we think there's two aspects of what ARM has to offer that come together to provide what is the best offering in the automotive space. One is our mobile phone roots. And what that provides us is, again, really low power for the best performance, right? And that's critically important for the car because at the end of the day, it's still battery powered. Right? It's still battery powered and that matters. And so that foundation of really low power with the best performance, then combine that with our infrastructure assets. Our infrastructure assets provides the maximum performance. You may have heard the term data center on wheels. It's true, but it's not really because again, it's still something on a battery. And so you want the maximum performance, which we can do. In the latest offering, we've released a V9 Neoverse product. That is an offshoot of what our infrastructure products are. So it's a Neoverse product with our latest and greatest architecture with V9 that creates and expands the value of what ARM can provide with security and safety and all the kind of assets that you expect in a data center. Then add that with where our roots and our heritage is, which is just maximizing the performance for the power. And that's where they both come together and intercept with an offering in automotive. And then the backdrop of, like I said earlier, 20 years of safety investment. Safety is critical. So it's not a mobile phone. It's not infrastructure. And what makes it different is it's a car where we're transporting humans, and that matters because safety has to be paramount, has to be the number one thing we think about. And that's the other pillar of the assets that we come together to provide this offering.
So for investors that are interested in ARM, what is the real opportunity here, and what investments are being made to help capture or perhaps expand that market share?
Well, you know, ARM, to remind you, ARM's been in this industry for quite some time, and that's important, right? That's very, very important. About 85% of IVIs, 50% of ADAS systems are already ARM-based. So that legacy provides us the trust, the foundational trust that's necessary to enable this industry to move forward. And that's essential to automotive. That's essential. But as we look at the future growth, I've said this a couple of times, software-defined vehicles will be survival for these OEMs. And so what do I mean by that? That's the ability to be able to provide updates to your software real time as the car is already on the road, right? And so what kind of assets do you need to be able to do that? You've got to be able to create the environment in such that the data center and the car are in sync, that you can then deploy the same standards between the data center and the car. ARM has sponsored a SOFI initiative, and this initiative has over 100 members in it. That initiative is very much focused on creating the standards in the cloud and the standards on the car such that we can deploy on a software-defined vehicle. That combined with the latest release that we did with our virtual platforms on V9 architecture, those virtual platforms allow our OEMs to start software development before they ever have silicon. And that's an amazing thing for them, because remember, the expansion of the code in the car from 100 million lines to a billion lines of code, that kind of development takes time. It becomes a critical path. And allowing for that virtual platform and shift left the development cycle enables our OEMs to get to market faster. So truly just bringing those assets of infrastructure, the cloud, what we can do in the car and our functional safety, as well as being able to enable that software development right off the bat, is critical and essential. And that's what's going to expand our position in automotive in this industry.
You said that this is really an area of survival for OEMs. So can you talk a bit about some of the challenges your partners are facing, and what solutions do you think will have the most impact in the end markets that you're serving?
Yeah, it's a critical time, right? If I look back just 10 years ago, an ARM IP supplier having an engagement with an OEM, well, do I really need to? I can work with the ecosystem. I don't need to talk to ARM. Nowadays, most of my time is spent with OEMs as they look to see, how do I take control over this entire, over the user experience, right? Over what is my brand? What is it that I'm going to provide to the consumer? And fundamental to that is control over the supply chain, control over the ecosystem. And ARM, having such a vast array of ecosystem, we have 15 million developers, and there isn't a human on the earth, 70% of the world's population touches ARM technology, right? And so they see that ability to be able to work with ARM. We think we provide the fundamental technologies, and we give the OEMs the ability to start their software early, start deciding what it is that they want in their technology early enough so that they can control what is going to be their brand, what is going to be their future. And so that's where most of my engagement is with OEMs. And that's provided for us to be able to provide complete solutions, right? We are now moving into a space where we can create compute subsystems. We put these CPUs together, and we're able to define what that subsystem looks like for the OEMs, enabling them to get to market much, much faster.
Now, as you mentioned, that user experience, and I think, you know, as a driver, I get in a car, I kind of just think everything is, you know, basically under the same umbrella. But it's really, you know, as you mentioned, there's all these different trends happening with automotive, electrification, self-driving. If you could just talk a little bit about how those different things just have so many different requirements and how ARM is maybe helping automakers have some flexibility in that area.
Yeah, that's a really, really good question. Often we think of the car as one entity, but it actually is fairly, very complex. When you think of electrification, let's think about, as an OEM, when my car's being electrified, if that's a word, we have to redefine the powertrain. So now we had to think differently about how the powertrain is done, right? Some of these powertrains haven't been redefined for ages, right? Because it just works. But now there's a battery. We got to think about that differently. And so that's one aspect of it, right? And then you think the user experience. That means, do I need multiple apps to be running? Do I have different providers on those applications? Do I create those applications myself, right? So that's a question for the OEM to think about. And then the lines between what is your experience in the car and what is your ADAS subsystem, that is your driver assisted driving system, are starting to blur. Because you have mapping technology, you have self-driving technology, and the experience you have in the car and how the car is driving your car, your IVI, which is your in-vehicle entertainment, plus how the car is being driven, are starting to blur. Those lines are starting to blur. So now the OEM's thinking, do I need to create a central compute? Do I combine those assets? Do I keep those assets separate? The whole entire architecture of the car. I just walk through all the aspects, whether it's the powertrain, whether it's the screen that's in your car, whether it's that compute that's driving the car or giving you assistance, lane change assistance or assets like that, things like that. Then layer on top of all of that, I now have to be software defined. So I got to be able to deploy software into this very complex system with all three elements in real time. And it has to work. Can't crash the car, right? I got to test it. I still have to have the same quality. I have to have the same safety. So most of these things we know how to do, right? We've done some of this stuff in the phone. Your phone gets regular software updates. We can handle that. In the data center, we know how to isolate workloads. We know how to have different applications running in parallel, right? So we know how to do that. So in aspects, we know how to do these, but doing them all together, while still doing them in a safe environment that's real time, is the fundamental challenge. That is where ARM comes to play, because we're in all aspects of that. So we can talk about this very holistically. We can talk about this as a complete solution. Whether it's the powertrain, we have solutions in the powertrain. Whether it's the IVI, from our history and mobile, we know how the in-vehicle entertainment works. And the assets in ADAS driving, well, that's very similar to what data center does. And so we can bring all of those learnings into the space. And then with our V9 architecture, we bring that into the architecture as well, the safety, the real-time nature, the confidential compute. We bring all those assets into the architecture, the fundamental architecture of the CPU.
Now, I have to bring up AI because it seems like you can't have a conversation these days without mentioning it. But how is that technology factoring into some of the chip design or software solutions at ARM?
It is fundamentally what is increasing the demand for compute. AI is on all aspects of the car. And it's fundamentally changing how it is that we, how much compute we need, what kind of compute we need. And it's an incredibly exciting time, right? It's an exciting time in such that now the questions are, how much of that AI is learning? How much of that AI is in perception at the edge? What does the car need to be able to do, right? How much compute do I need in the car? Fundamentally, ARM is everywhere there is AI. And so it's fundamental to most every conversation I'm having. How much AI do you need? And the answer to that question often is, I don't know. The sky's the limit. So how much can I do with this power, this battery? Because again, it's software defined, and that this is changing so fast. They need the maximum amount of AI they can get, and they want it within the battery that they have, and being able to get the mileage they need. And so that's where our low power technology really comes into play, because we can have that conversation, expand the AI, but yet still keep it within the budgeting of the car. But it's incredibly exciting time. Does generative AI come into the car, right? That's a really interesting, what about large language models, right? Do we see the value of large language models in the car? I think it's a debate. About maybe just 2 years ago, it wouldn't even be an idea. We couldn't think about that, right? Generative large language models inside the car, which usually that's a cloud asset. But no, we're talking about those kind of things now.
So when you talk about bringing generative AI or LLM technology into the car, I'm just really curious as a consumer, what exactly does that mean, and what does that look like?
So one example that I've seen, if you've ridden in one of these autonomous vehicles, right, there's a few on the road. You'll see Waymo has some cars on the road, Zoox has some cars on the road, and I've ridden in probably every one of those. When the car is driving on the road and it stops suddenly, because it's autonomous, you're sitting in the back seat. I know what goes through my mind. What happened, right? So I'm looking around saying, why did the car stop? Does it know what it's doing, right? It just broke, right? So you don't know why it stopped. Well, one of the applications I've seen is the car actually says, I've stopped on the road because I've seen a child, right, on the left-hand side. So it informs you what's going on in its environment and why it is that it's making the decisions that it's making. That was one of the applications. I found that incredibly interesting, because I have been in these cars and I have wondered. So when we get into autonomous vehicles and they're making these decisions for us, keeping us informed as to why it is making the user informed and why it's making the decisions it's making is an interesting application. So that's one of the first applications I've seen it, and I'm sure there'll be more. The other idea that I've seen is, can we use generative AI to create simulations for these cars so they can learn faster? So right now, a lot of the reasons these autonomous cars are on the road is because they're collecting data. And these data is helping them fine tune their training models, right? And that's essentially important, because we need these training models to have as many situations as possible so that it can learn from them. But what if we can simulate the situations for them? What if we don't have to actually drive these cars on the road and we actually simulate these situations? So that's not necessarily language models. It's more generative AI, but that's another idea that I've heard. But these are still very early days. I am sure more will come, and it'll be beyond my imagination as to how they can use these technologies. And that's what's exciting, being in this position, because we provide fundamental technology, and then it's exciting to see how applications are created and invented that are beyond your imagination. It's not limited by our imagination, right? It's the entire ecosystem imagining on top of our technology.
And you've mentioned this a couple of times, but Arm announced a new suite of automotive technologies in March. Can you share a little bit more about some of the products that were unveiled, and maybe give a timeline of the roadmap, and when investors can expect these solutions to be deployed?
Thank you for asking that. It's one of the things I'm most proud of. Yes, we did a fairly large announcement, and fundamental that announcement. There's a lot in that announcement, so I'll go through some of the fundamental pillars of that announcement. It is V9 architecture coming into to what is automotive or automotive enhanced for us. And that's really, really important. And for an investor perspective, what does that mean? It's more value for Arm, right? Because the assets we have in V9 are value creation, right? We are able to now do safety differently. We're able to do compute differently. We're able to maximize the compute, right? We're able to do security differently. And all of those things create an incredible value for Arm. And that's where V9 is important. Then the other pillar of our announcement is we brought Neoverse, which is our infrastructure line of products, into the car. Why is that important? And why does that matter to an investor? Well, more compute. More compute is good for us. More compute is really, really good for us. And this is infrastructure level of compute. And you'll see it in some of the latest products from NVIDIA. That's Neoverse based, right? So very excited to have already partners working on that. And we'll have silicon here very soon from that line of products. And then the other aspect was a whole suite of new power performance enhanced devices that are automotive enhanced devices. So we have a midline of products. We have a very cost efficient product line. These are on our CPUs. We also announced a new GPU, a new ISP. These are graphics processors, image processors, and a whole suite of IP. So one thing to keep in mind is ARM, often you think of ARM as CPU, we're much, much more than that. We have the whole suite of heterogeneous compute, and that's what we announced. And then really exciting is in this announcement, and it was a pretty big announcement, really exciting is we bring all that together into a virtual platform. And I mentioned this earlier, which means software development can start yesterday. Right. As of March, the day I announced, you can go online and start writing your software. And silicon's going to be available here pretty soon as well, because we have a lot of lead partners. We're already working on it. And so, again, silicon will be available very soon. Software can start first. Why does that matter to an investor? Time to revenue. Right. The faster you get your software done, the faster you get to production, the faster we get to time to revenue. So all of this that I just talked about is available now. It's available now. And by next year, we will have what is compute subsystems. And that is, we bring all these assets together into a subsystem. And that has been something that the automotive market has been asking for quite some time for us. It's like, you give me these pieces, pull it together, give me a solution, get me to market faster. And so that's what we're doing next year. We'll have that by next year, which are compute subsystems. And we've already got demand from the OEMs to start putting this into silicon.
You mentioned some names, but can you share more about key partnerships or collaborations that you see driving growth?
Wow, we have quite a few partners, right? I mentioned in our SOFI initiative, we have over 100 members. In the announcement, there is, you can go on, you can see the whole suite of quotes we have, which is really cool. We have Mercedes-Benz in our video. We have partners like ZF, which is a tier one. We have the ASIC providers like the Texas Instruments, the Marvells, the NVIDIAs of the world, silicon providers like the NVIDIAs and TIs of the world. And so we go across the entire ecosystem. Then we have software vendors like Electrobit. That was part of our announcement. And so what you'll see and what is so cool about this announcement and ARM in particular is we work across the entire ecosystem, whether it be software providers, silicon providers, ASIC vendors, tier ones like the ZF and the Bosches of the world, OEMs like the Mercedes of the world, Cruise of the world. So it's a vast array across the entire ecosystem when we get to see all of it and touch pieces and parts of all of that.
So just to kind of wrap this all up and put a nice little bow on it, so what would you say then is perhaps your biggest strategic priority then for the year ahead?
The biggest strategic priority for us is to partner with these OEMs to help them, enable them to solve what would be one of the biggest transformations in their space in software-defined vehicles and electrified vehicles, right? And that I mentioned earlier has such a significant impact across the entire car itself. And so in doing so, it will then enable us to provide more of the solution, more of the software, as well as enable them to start their software development ASAP, right? And that's so fundamentally important. So enabling the OEMs to easily create solutions and software-defined vehicles, it will be fundamental to ARM's growth.
Well, Dipti, thank you so much for your insights today. We really appreciate it.
Thank you for having me. Thank you.
Growth Stories is a production of Investor's Business Daily. I'm your host, Alexis Garcia. We'll see you next time. This podcast is for informational and educational purposes only, and nothing should be construed as a recommendation to buy, hold, or sell any securities. Be sure to consider consulting with your financial advisor before making any investment decisions.